I trust you all have had an enjoyable afternoon, and I hope that you all are doing well. Glad to see you this evening, and we're glad that you have chosen to spend some time with us this evening as we endeavor to study the Lord's Word. We're slowly making our way through each book of the Bible on Sunday evenings. We're up to the Proverbs, and it was hard to isolate and pick out one lesson that the Proverbs writer addresses. But I thought we would talk for a few moments this evening about the field of the lazy. The Proverbs are filled with practical advice on just about any subject you can broach. And if we read one proverb a day, we can read through that book in a month, typically. There are 31 chapters. And I know several brethren who make it their business to read through the Psalms each month, a few minutes a day, and they can read through those proverbs in a month. And among the many and manifold topics that are emphasized throughout the wisdom literature, we find this subject this evening: diligence and the need to work. And throughout the Psalms, we can go to the Proverbs. In Proverbs 6, laziness is condemned. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Watch, or which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. That's very similar to the one that our brother Mark read for us a moment ago. But it's a theme that is replete throughout the Proverbs. We can turn to Proverbs 20 and verse 4. I have a new Bible and the pages are somewhat sticky. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. By reason of the cold, he won't plow. Well, you know, they always told us when I was working as a millwright that when we get on the job site and everybody was complaining about how cold it was, some grizzled old foreman would always say, "The heat is in the tools." And he was absolutely right, because you pick up your tools and go to work, you don't notice the cold so much. Proverbs 22, verse 13. The slothful man saith, "There is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets." He can always find some excuse. And if we read the context of that, you know, if you don't want to do something, you don't need much of an excuse. I think I told you the story about the fellow that wanted to borrow his neighbor's lawnmower, and he wouldn't let him borrow it. And he says, "Why can't I borrow your mower?" And he says, "Because it's red." So what's that have to do with it? He says, "It didn't have anything to do with it, but one excuse is as good as another." And if you don't want to do something, if you're too lazy to do something, you'll find in your minds, in your mind, it's a reason, when in reality, it's just an excuse. There's a difference between a reason and an excuse. A lot of folks don't recognize that, but it's the case. As the door turneth upon the hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Proverbs 26, 14. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. He knows that every time he eats something, that's just less he's going to have. He is content just to lay on his bed and toss and turn. Laziness is sin. Did you know that? In 2 Thessalonians 3, 11 and 12, Paul writes, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now to them that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they do their work and eat their own bread." That's not a suggestion. That's an apostolic command. People are to work so they can have something to eat. God didn't design people to be beggars. Now, as was the case then, as is the case now, there are people in the world who cannot work. And today we have all kinds of programs designed to help them. Whether you've been injured and you can't work, or whether you have lived so long that your body is not capable of doing the work that you once did. But there are some in the church at this time who were walking disorderly. And then he describes in what way. There's a lot of ways we can walk disorderly as Christians. If we walk in a manner that is inconsistent with the revealed word of God, we are walking disorderly. That term can be used in the military. It's walking in step. You know, and I love that. It's so impressive when you see soldiers walking in step. And it just sounds like there's one person walking, because each foot comes down at the same time. And then the rifle cores. It's just a very impressive thing to watch. But our lives as Christians should be equally impressive. It should be that kind of a spectacle, because we should be in such harmony with God's word. And one of the things that enables us to be in harmony with God is the fact that we work, that we do what is expected to be done of us without murmuring, without complaining. We're examples to others. So laziness, excuse me, is a sin. It's also a shame. He that gathereth in the summer is wise, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Proverbs 10:5. In other words, when you have work to do, you need to be doing it. And you'll be glad, you'll be a gladness to the father or the parents. But he that sleeps during the harvest, or him that is lazy, he is a son that brings shame to his family. And so, among the other texts we're talking about, the text that our brother read for us is a key text, or a key passage along this line. And the story of the field of the lazy man has lessons for all of us. And I want to look, first of all, at the wonderful potential that was apparent in this situation. Each one of us is born with potential. Potential is not the realization of something, but it is the capacity for something. You can have an empty glass, and potentially you can put any kind of liquid that you want to in that glass. It has that capacity to hold that liquid. Now, it depends on you whether or not you use it. Maybe you only fill it halfway. You're not using it to its full potential. We're all empty vessels that we need to be filling up, that we need to be putting towards our potential. There was no excuses for this man's failure. He had a field in which to work. He was blessed more than perhaps some folks in his day and time, because he had a field in which to work. There were some folks that maybe didn't have a field. But this man had a field. It was his. And he could do whatever he wanted to with it. We do not fail because God has not given us a chance. Many times the reason we fail is because we have ignored the chances and the opportunities that God has given us. He had a field. He went by the field of the slothful man. My translation says slothful, lazy is what it means. And actually it means habitually lazy, inactive. Went by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So this man had a field. He had the opportunity. He had the potential. And we know from verse 31 that the soil in this field was good. It was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. Why? The soil that can grow weeds can grow flowers and vegetables. In each of us, there is potential for what is good, and there is the potential for what is bad. How are we working? What are we preparing ourselves to do? Are we preparing our minds to go to heaven by studying God's word daily? Or are we failing to prepare ourselves spiritually, choosing rather to focus on the here and now? And again, I'm not unaware of the fact that we have issues and things here upon the earth that you and I need to take care of. We have to plan for the future. We have to plan for a time when we will no longer be able to be productive members of society as we once were. We won't be able to work anymore. So we have to prepare for that. Society is set up to where we lay something apart, so when we are no longer able to work, we can retire and live off of what we have laid up. That's the way it's geared. God gave us rain. He gives us sunshine. It grew the weeds. It grew the nettles. It could have grown flowers and vegetables. He could have had everything that he needed. God didn't fail this man. This man failed himself. And he failed society. He could have been useful. He could have been a vital member of society. He can't say that he couldn't keep the animals out, and the animals destroyed his crops. He had a wall, a stone wall, but he let it become dilapidated. He let it become ineffective. We cannot blame society for our failures, or our parents, or the educational system, or the church, if we are not what we can be. We have to bear some of the responsibility. We have a mind. We have that reasoning capacity within us. We have the ability to learn. We have the ability to assume responsibility. But that's part of the problem. Because responsibility has in it the word ability. And some folks just don't want that. Some folks don't want to use their ability because then they have to have responsibility. They don't want that. They are blissfully happy in their nothingness. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. That's all they want. They will. Have you ever seen the person who will work harder to get out of work than if they would have just done the work in the first place? I'm a big fan of the Beetle Bailey comic strip. And that's poor old Beetle. When I read some of these passages in the scripture, I think of Beetle Bailey, because if he would have just done what he was supposed to do, his life would have been so much better. It wouldn't have been as amusing. So there was great potential for this man. But unfortunately, on his part, the second point I want to bring up is there was a shameful neglect. Shameful neglect. This man had tremendous potential, but he neglected it. Therefore, he raised no crop. He made no positive contribution to life. The only thing he raised by being a lazy person was weeds and nettles. I suppose most of you know what nettles are. It's not a pleasant thing when you encounter them in the wild. They got little stings on them. And they can greatly affect portions of your skin in which they come in contact. They're also used, I'm told, in this holistic medicine. I'm not into that much, but I know as you encounter them, you know, we think of poison ivy and poison oak and different things. It can be an irritant like that. And thorns and nettles and weeds, they just make life difficult for others. And when we look at the application here, we look at what he's talking about. He's going by the field of the slothful man. He's considering the lazy man's life and how it was grown over with things that were worthless and useless. Basically, his soul was destroyed. He had wasted the life and became a man devoid of understanding in verse 30. Devoid of understanding. That means he was senseless. He had, and in combination with this, is a man who is lacking sense, but he's also blinded to the reality of his situation by his lack of self-discipline. This man was not a self-starter. This man could not wake up in the morning and get himself out of bed and get moving to tackle the day's requirements. He would rather let life happen to him than to get up and make his way through life. He was the sad sack. Oh, I've just never had any good breaks. I've just never had any good luck. You know what? If you've paid attention to the folks around you, the ones who are the luckiest are the ones who are doing the most work. We make our own luck. We make our own fortunate circumstances. We make our own good conditions. If you have a flat tire out on the highway somewhere and it's raining, you can make your condition better just in little simple things. You can either grumble and complain, and you can go out there on the ground and roll around in your good clothes. Or, you know, you might have a floor mat or a rug or something in your car that you can put down on the ground to keep you from getting so wet and so dirty. We can make our own conditions. It's just a matter of how we're going to approach these things. If we want to be successful in our lives, if we want to be successful as Christians, then we have to work towards that end. We can't just leave our Bibles folded up on the shelf and wonder why we don't know what the preacher's talking about, or why we don't know, we don't know where to turn to in the Bible when the preacher says to turn to the book of Ezekiel. We have to go to the front of the Bible and say, well, what page is that on? We can't just start flipping through the Bible and know where we're at, because we're not applying ourselves. We're not trying to gain knowledge. We're not trying to do what God would have us to do. So he neglected his potential. And when we look at the overall message here, when we neglect our potential, we are as though we are lacking sense, devoid of understanding. It's a senseless thing. Not only is laziness sinful and shameful, but it's senseless. There's no good produced by it. God expects us to be busy, to work, to take advantage of our opportunities, to develop our potential. Why, in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, Solomon writes, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work nor device nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." What we're doing, we have to do here and now. Jesus said, "I must work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. I must work the works of him that sent me," he said in John 9, verse 4. Paul wrote to those brethren in Ephesus saying, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." There was a faction, evidently, in Ephesus who didn't want to work. It was better for them to go steal. They would rather steal stuff than to work for it. Now, I don't think they were government officials, but who knows? He wrote to the Colossians, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." That can make your work day a lot shorter. If you go to work with the attitude that I'm working for the Lord here, instead of working for that tyrant or that despot or that grouchy old boss or whoever. We're doing what the Lord would have us to do when we go to work. When we do that, we are filling up our potential. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Sometimes we fail God in these matters because of simple neglect. Neglect will keep us from doing what we should be doing and being what we should be. And that's part of discipline. We've got to remember. When I started driving an automobile, my dad was a stickler. You check that oil regularly. Well, you mean once a week? No, more than once a week. Of course, oils and engines have come a long way. But I still check my oil regularly. I just got this feeling that if I don't check my oil, Dad's going to jump out behind the house sometime and smack me a good one. And he went to his reward in 2009. We have things we have to be doing. We have to be diligent about these things. And here's the thing. Neglect on our part is selfishness. Our neglect can affect others. If we don't do what we're supposed to be doing, it can affect others. And ultimately, neglect will destroy our souls. Because if we neglect little things in our daily lives, where do we draw the line then? Well, I'm going to be neglectful about this, but the important stuff I'm going to stay on top of. Where's the line that separates the important stuff from the mundane stuff? We neglect tire pressure today. Maybe 3 or 4 months or 3 or 4 years down the road, we neglect that clicking sound we hear in the engine that seems to get faster when we drive faster and slows down when we drive slower. And then we neglect that. If we can salve our consciences and neglect that, then we can neglect weightier things in life. We can neglect our children's progress at school. Maybe we neglect our spouse. Because we started little, neglecting stuff, and we've learned how to salve our consciences. And then before you know it, we neglect something as important as the soul. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Hebrews 2 and verse 3. It starts small, but it can grow into something big. So we take that wonderful potential, and then we retard it with a shameful neglect, and the only thing we'll get out of this, brethren and friends, is an awful result. Because of laziness and neglect. This man that we read about in the Proverbs was a failure. He was a failure. Isn't that an ugly word? Have you ever been called a failure? It's not a pleasant thing. We all want to succeed. But the kind of success I'm talking about is not found at a Black Friday sale or Cyber Monday. The success I'm talking about takes effort. And again, the hardest working people I know are the most successful people. They didn't get successful by being lazy and apathetic and neglectful. And most who fail will do so not because they desire to fail, but because they neglected the things which make for success. Whether we're talking academics, athletics, relationships, or even the eternal soul. It's easy to do little or to do nothing. Anybody can do that. But it takes effort to be successful. If you neglect machinery or tools, it will fail you and maybe kill you. If you neglect a marriage, it will crumble. If you neglect your brethren, they'll break your heart. Laziness can steal all that a man has. Not every business failure, or not even every situation of poverty, is necessarily the result of laziness. But laziness can be the overriding contributor. It has that potential. I realize there are people who have had misfortune in business ventures or whatever, and they've not been successful like they should. They maybe, you know, they picked the wrong people or the wrong climate or the wrong time in history. But oddly, what man neglects the most many times seems to be that which is most vital to him. And that's eternal. It's his eternal soul. When one neglects Christ, he's neglecting his own soul. How do you know that, John? Because Jesus said, if you confess not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He that confesseth me not before the Father, him will I not confess before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:33. So it started out, this lazy man let his field get overgrown. He was inactive. It had all kinds of potential. But because he was blinded to his reality by his lack of discipline, the wall was broken down. It had been covered with thorns and nettles. But I saw it and I considered it well. And I looked upon it and I received instruction. This man saw what was happening to the lazy man and he learned the lesson. He could see it. He applied his heart to wisdom. And he learned the lesson of the lazy man. And he was not going to let laziness and neglect be his downfall. He would not say, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. He was not going to let laziness steal what he had. And you and I can't let it steal what we have. You and I have the greatest hope, the greatest potential, and the greatest Savior. We must take the greatest advantage of it by living our lives for Christ, in Christ, for all the time that we have left available. If you're not a child of God this evening, we would encourage you to consider seriously your eternal soul. If you're willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and express a desire to repent and grow, it would be our great privilege to immerse you in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you've done those things, but you need to come back, take this opportunity right now as we stand together and sing.